Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. There are need for some desserts for the junior camp out and for the senior, for the teen camp out. And so if you want to make desserts for the junior camp out, see Mrs. Ross. And if you want to make desserts for the teen camp overnight, see Hannah. Okay, so that will be a highlight of the camp fathers. Desserts. All right, turn with me to your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. And let's look tonight at verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here we have a great description of the Bible, the message of the Bible, and the influence and the ministry of God's Word in our lives. And just as the people of Israel in Kadesh Barnea heard the message of the Lord to go into the land, today, and these Jewish people were now hearing God's word, and their response to God was going to be the response that they were going to give to the Word of God. And that's really a basic principle of our relationship to God. Our relationship to God is found in our relationship to God's Word. Our response to God is our response to His Word. And people can try to bluff themselves. People can deceive themselves. People can become religious, and et cetera. And you can imagine the Jewish people. Here are these Jewish people. They are religious. They are steeped in religion. And their, you might say, their soulish part of them would try to be able to excuse leaving Christ and the persecution and the reproach that comes with Christ and go back to Judaism. They could easily reason with themselves in a religious way that that was okay, that that was fine. We find here that the Word of God pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And you know, and perhaps in this case, it's awful hard to discern between the soul and spirit. Many people would say that the soul here represents a soulish approach versus the spiritual, the truth approach to things. But what are they going to do? The message of who Christ is and that He is a fulfillment of all the types of the Old Testament, of all the pictures of the worship of the Old Testament. What are they going to do? What are they going to do with God's Word? They're being given God's Word. And how are they going to respond to God's Word? And you know, each one of us today, we have the same situation today. Our response to God is what our response is to the Bible. Here it says, the Word of God is quick. Now, that's an old English word. That means it's living. You know, God's Word, as it was written to Hebrews, it's as alive and real as God spoke to the people of Israel as they came up out of Egypt, as they were in Kadesh Barnea, and He said, now go into the land and possess the land. And they were given a real a choice, and that choice revealed what was taking place in their life. It revealed what was in their heart. It revealed, the Word of God revealed that their heart was hard. It revealed that their heart was stubborn. It revealed that their heart was hardened by unbelief. The Word of God isn't like a Reader's Digest or a newspaper article. The Word of God deals with the very issues of life. The Bible is living. It's living. So you read the Bible, and let's just say you get nothing out of it. What's the problem? It's not the Bible. You know what? The Bible just revealed that you are dead. The Bible just revealed who you are. I remember as an unsaved teenager reading the Bible. Oh, man. I was going to read the whole Bible through. Yeah, I got maybe one or two pages. That was it. Boy, it was so far over my head. I mean, I don't know where I started. I have no idea. But you know, it wasn't the problem with the Bible. The Bible was revealing who I was. The Bible was revealing that I was dead in my sin. I was spiritually dead. And you know, when you have your devotions in the morning, we have our devotions in the morning, and we read the Bible, I tell you what, you just got away from your devotions and you walked away from it and you say, you know what, I didn't get a thing from it, if you're honest sometimes. And you know what? It wasn't the Bible's problem. The Bible is living. It's alive. It's the living Word of God. But you know what? It just proved itself. The Word of God revealed what was wrong with us. There's something wrong with our heart. It was cold. Why was it cold? Sin? Preoccupation? With temporal things? You name it. The Bible just revealed the true nature of our spiritual condition. It wasn't the Bible that had a problem, because the Bible is living. It's always been living. Think about the message of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 7. Here we have this great parallel. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That's Jesus Christ. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So here's the message of Christ. And to those who have a heart of faith, they respond, and Jesus Christ is precious. But to those who have a heart of sin, a heart of rebellion against God, Jesus Christ, a stumbling block. A stumbling block. A rock of offense. The Word of God reveals the true nature of someone's heart. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul is talking about his ministry. Verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the Savior of knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. The same message. The same message. To one, it's the savor of death. Ever smelled death? Go to the morgue. That's the savor of death. What about life? Savor the breath of life, the freshness of life, the vibrancy of life. Same message. To one person, it's a message of death. I don't want that. No way. No interest. To another, oh, just what I need. Just what I need. It's the truth. You see, the Word of God is living. It's living. John chapter 6. In verse 60, it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? That's to heaven. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given me unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no one else to go to. Thou and thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Notice what he said. Thou hast the words of eternal life. So here we have the Bible is God's word. But it's not just words. It's just not letters. It's a living word. And the Bible says that the words, Jesus said, I speak, they are spirit and they are life. They are living. And the Word of God is living. And it always gets a response. Now, what do you say? You say, well, I came to church and I didn't make a response. Exactly. The Word of God reveals the deadness that's in that person's heart. They didn't hear the Word. They didn't receive the Word. They didn't respond to the Word because the living Word of God revealed the death that was in their soul. The Word of God has no problem. The the Word of God is living. Now, so even as Paul is writing to the Hebrews about the superiority of Christ, their response to that word is as real as the response of the people of Israel at Kadesh Barnea when they said, "No, we're not going to go. It's going to cost us something to obey God." And now they're at the same crossroads. It's again the Word of God. 1400 years later. But now it's still the Word of God. And what are they going to do with the truth of the Word of God? So it's living. It's a living message. It isn't something that's neutral. It isn't something that you can just shrug off. The shrugging off is a revelation of your condition and my condition. It's not like the Reader's Digest where you can just ignore it. Now notice it says the Word of God is quick and powerful. This word for power is the word energize. It's energizing. It is empowering. It brings about strength and energy and effort. You know, Jonah preached in Nineveh. Says, "This city will be destroyed in 40 days. And guess what happened? Ho! I guess what happened? I mean, the king, all of a sudden, he got energized, didn't he? And he said, "We need to repent. We need to repent. Our sin will bring our judgment." He said, "Everybody, I order everyone to wear sackcloth. Even the animals. I order everyone in this city to repent and to show their repentance." Boy, I tell you what, he heard the message and he was energized, wasn't he? He was energized. You know, the Word of God working in a powerful force in a person's life. Because it is powerful. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The Bible tells us that the Word of God has an effect upon a person who wants the God to work in their life. It has an effect upon a person's life. You know, there's a little bit of common sense with the Bible. You know, as Christians, we all have times of struggle. We all have times of deadness. We have all times in our lives when we are not on the top, that we are on the bottom. And you know, there's a very simple truth. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And it's very simple. You want things to change in your spiritual life, then start spending time in God's Word. Someone said to C.H. Spurgeon, shouldn't you hunger to read the Bible? And he said, "Of course. But if you don't hunger to read the Bible, read it, and then you will hunger for it." You know, because why? The Word of God is powerful. You know, these new evangelicals, they got everything is about feeling. That's why they have the rock music in their church. All about feeling. They're supposed to drum up spiritual feelings. No. You need the real thing. You know what the real thing is? Get in God's Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful. You know, I was talking to someone who's from one of these mega churches and been in there for a number of years. And he says, you know, I don't know. I don't know any Christians that even read the Bible. Maybe once a week. No wonder they got to have their rock music. That's the best spiritual feeling they can get. The Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God received makes a difference in a person's life. And what is he saying? See, in Hebrews, you receive the Word of God. It will energize you. It will give you the power to be willing to bear the reproach of Jesus Christ. You know, the right attitude is a form of spiritual energy. You know, you can mope and grope and whine about something. And it can make a mountain out of a molehill. Or you can just face it and go forward by faith. And all of a sudden that big mountain is just what it is. Just a little obstacle. But where does that come from? That comes from God working in our life. And where does He work in our? How does He work in our life? Through the Bible. See, our relationship with God is in His Word. That's where our relationship is. You know, probably maybe you never noticed it, but the pulpit in this church is in the center. Did you notice that? It's not over here. This isn't a magic church. The magic church, they have the altar in the center. And they get magic from the ordinances. They call them sacraments. That's how they get forgiveness of sins. It's mysticism. It's a big mysticism in their brain. But the pulpit is here because the transaction takes by declaring the message of the Bible. And whatever you do with that message is what God is able to do in your life. We can preach the message of Christ, but you must believe. And so we find that the Word of God is living and it's powerful. So let me ask you a simple question. Okay, so if you have hot dog devotions, what kind of a Christian are you going to be? By the way, I think they said that if you have, didn't you read it not too long ago? They said if a person has hot dogs four times a week, they have a 20% greater chance of having cancer. So much for hot dog devotions, right? See, the Word of God is quick and powerful. And young people, you aren't kidding anyone. You're not kidding yourself. If you get up there and you tell your parents you had your devotions, and unless you're lying in your devotion notebook, but you know what? Some kids, they say, I had my devotions, but they don't tell mom. Well, they read the same chapter, they read the same time, same chapter they read for the last 10 days. Yeah, maybe some adults do that. Maybe some adults here don't even have devotions. And then you wonder, well, how come I'm spiritually anemic? How come, you know, I'm dead? How come I'm not growing? How come I'm not making decisions for God? So then it says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, when we're right with God and we're letting God minister to us in the Bible, wow. It can go real deep, real fast. And we're not going to talk about the intricacies of dividing between the soul and the spirit. That's pretty intricate. And the joints and the marrow, that's pretty intricate. But you know, you can play games with yourself and you can try to play games with God. But when you meet God in His Word, boy, the motives of a person's heart are exposed just as plain as being broadcast on a movie screen. Because the Word of God divides and clearly divides, distinguishes that from emotionalism to that which is the truth. From human motives to God's motives and all these other things. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, the Word of God can do in moments what a psychologist couldn't do in 50 years. And so sometimes it's sobering to think, you know what? Today when we open up our Bible, it's as real as Israelites being at Kadesh Barnea and God says, go into the land. And they said, no. The truth, what we do with the truth of God's Word is just as real as that. And sometimes we don't, we like to kid ourselves and think, nah. So we have a great challenge to us even today about our relationship to God as revealed by the living Word of God. And as we previously said, if you're spiritually dead, this is a pretty dead book. Pretty dead book. If you're Christian, and there's not much happening in your life, in your heart, in your mind as you read God's Word, it's a revelation of what's going on. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be in God's Word. It's as simple as that. It's as mathematical as that. You know, I think about the teen camp out. One of the wonderful things about the teen camp out is that, one thing is when you have the devotions, there's nothing else to do. You can't go home and play softball, and you can't go call up your friends. There's nothing else to do. You got time. And it's amazing what happens when we take the time to let God do something in our life by getting into God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight and thank you for the clearness of the message of this great verse in the Bible. And Lord, even tonight, we need to be challenged to be in God's word and finding out if our heart is cold or whether it's on fire, whether our heart is apathetic or if it is passionate for Christ. As we study and obey the word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us even tonight as we many times just play games with our own soul in this area. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, perhaps even the Lord tonight is speaking to you about your personal devotions, about your Bible time. And maybe you've been having hot dog devotions just a little bit, real quick, and it's over. And you need to get back to business with God and let Him build your life and get serious about meeting God in His Word. And the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, and there's a the living Word of God is stirring your soul. Say, I need to make that clear-cut decision to get back and having meaningful, deliberate time in God's Word each day. And God spoke in your heart about that. Just lift up your hand. Anyone here today? Okay, number of different hands. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, others? All right, amen. Okay, others as well. All right, the basics of Christian life. Okay, praise the Lord.